I sighted the microphone for the green lights of the speed trap. Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Yeah, we're living for the sun here on Motormouth Radio today on this beautiful, glorious, sunny Sunday.
Yeah, your, it's nice out there, ain't it?
Your host, Ray Guarino, co-host Wigman, and the guy bringing up the bottom end.
The other guy.
On the other side of the shop bench.
Yep.
Joe D.
We still got the shop bench. Chris left it here.
I know. He brought it back. He borrowed it. It went with him to Connecticut. He brought it back. We got it. So now we get to play with the shop
nice
bench
and refinished.
Again.
Yes.
You can get in on this fun today, but for a little while, because we're going to have a great guest in Mr. Dave Barden from the PowerProbeTech.com, TEC.
Yeah, PowerProbe.
But before or after then, you can be like...
Troubleshooting. Yeah.
You can give us a call at 516-572-7440. Or follow us on MotormouthRadio.com, on Twitter, Motormouth Radio, Instagram, Joe's favorite,
Real_
Motormouth Radio. It's not too hard, really. Or
yeah,
Facebook.
I learned how to do it.
Yeah, on Facebook, this stuff, too. And you can see what we're up to during the week, because Joe's been putting up some stuff, and I try to put up some stuff, and our guy in the sky, our media guy, puts up some stuff occasionally. So yeah, we all kind of throw stuff out there.
There's a lot of stuff, yeah.
Made Matt Go guy, hey, Matt Go man, Brian, happy last week, because I don't know if you caught it, Joe. My daughter had come out onto the deck. We were having dinner, and she goes, oh, you know, her and a friend, they went and I got their nails done. I'm like, she goes, you like the color? I was like, whoa, it's Matco High Viz Orange.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said, I saw Matco sockets. So I went and I found a picture, and I posted that, and she was kind of, she's like, oh, you want me to do more hand modeling? I'm like, yeah, you ain't getting paid for it, so do whatever you want. Just
the George Costanza thing, yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Hand modeling.
So you never know what's going to come from us. And, our buddy Dennis Pitsenbarger did a thing last week on Instagram. He was talking about window tinting, and I happened to take the tint off my Impala that day. I fought with three windows, and I have a really sore finger to prove it. When I got home, my wife says to me, hey, did you use the steamer like you were going to do? I was like, oh, no, I totally fell. I said, but I got one window left. And I went outside, I used the steamer, and that tint came off in one piece. And I said, what a jadrool. So, not her, me. So, let's go to the phones and see who's on the line. We'll say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
And hi, you're on with the Bronc. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Ray. How you guys
Bronc.
Doing today?
Good. The early bird catching the worm, eh?
That's it. Yeah, I'm not used to getting up when the sun is up. You know, this retirement really is wonderful.
Yeah, most...
But to get up at 8:30 in the morning to talk to you guys, I must have no life at this point.
Yeah, most vampires aren't used to that. I know. I understand.
Well, that's it. You know, when the sun goes out, I go in. And when the sun goes in, then I go out.
Right.
It's just a much better routine that way.
Makes sense.
I got an interesting problem. A friend of mine called me up yesterday. I haven't looked at it yet. All right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a motorcycle problem, but it all ties together. It's electrical. It's a 87 Honda, which was Goldwing, Aspen Cade, and it was the state-of-the-art of rat nest wiring.
Oh, wow.
It was a one-off bike. Here's the problem. When the bike is in neutral, the generator or charging light comes on super bright.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you put it in gear, the light goes out and it starts charging like crazy. Have you ever heard of anything that crazy?
Well, not specifically. I had a couple of old Hondas that had charging problems. It was always on the low end. Even though it was an alternator, it was it was a cut-in point for the regulator rectifier.
Right.
But when you put it in gear, that actually creates more of a load.
Exactly. And it's should get brighter.
Well, I would think with more of a load, the alternator, you actually decrease the RPM a little bit. If it really wasn't charging right at idle, that should make it charge even less, I would think.
Right.
The engine speed
slowed. Why did it go back to full charge? Because he put a meter on it. This is what he told me. I haven't checked it out yet. I've got a wiring schematic, so I don't know how it's routed.
Right, right.
But when, as soon as you put it in neutral, the light comes on very bright. As soon as you drop it in gear, the light goes off immediately, and evidently it's charging what it's supposed to do.
Unless it's a back feed to the light source.
I'm thinking back feed.
Just a quick reference for those listening. A stator puts out AC current, and when it goes through the voltage regulator, it converts it in the regulator to DC current for the rest of the bike.
Okay, yeah, actually, just to correct you, it actually goes through the rectifier.
Yeah.
The rectifier rectifies AC to DC. But like Joe and I just said, we're both thinking...
Damn near killed it.
Yeah, right. There may be... we're thinking it may be a backfeed issue to that light.
Perhaps, yeah, depending on how the alternator... Is the regulator internal to the alternator?
No.
It's not?
No, they're separate.
So
separate animal.
It could be something that's cutting out whatever it turns on the field excitation. Yeah.
And there could be a diode in line that's bad.
Yep.
Okay, then why when you drop it in gear? Because the tranny... and dropping it in gear has no reference. It's not electronic transmission. So
right.
There's nothing that goes through the circuit. It goes from the stator to the rectifier to the battery.
Nothing that's supposed to.
Well, again, without having the schematic in front of us. Yeah, without having the schematic, we really can't, give a...
Or did you trace if it's going through? Maybe it's going through the neutral switch. I don't know.
I was just about to say, yeah.
I don't think so. But this bike is a rat since I've been working on it for years, and it is just a major. It was a one-off bike. They only made this bike with this configuration in 87.
Brock, I'll tell you this. I have a good friend that lived in Limbrook. Now he's in PA for many years. He's got about four or five gold wings that he buys them. He gets them cheap, flips, fixes them and flips them. And he's told me through the years he's solved some of the hardest problems on the gold wing forum. There's a couple forums that are like, these guys really, they wrench and they wrench hard. And he gets good information from them. So hit the internet.
Yeah, that was my thing. First, I want to get the schematic, and I want to physically see what's going on myself. You know when you get second-party, third-party word of mouth, you don't get the information always accurate?
Playing telephone sucks.
Right?
Until you physically and touch it and see what's going on, so then you can make your own determination and diagnostics on it, then you have a better idea what's going on.
Right.
So
exactly.
Until that point, I'm probably going to go down there Monday or Tuesday and check it out. In fact, he's the guy I ride with, my riding buddy. He owns the bike shop down here, accessory bike shop.
Mm.
So he used to be a service manager for Honda, but never a wrencher. Just a backyard plug changer.
Well, the other thing, shouldn't he have some really good contacts from his days at Honda?
That was in California. So, and he's 76 years old.
Okay.
So those contacts are long gone. They're pushing up grass.
They've long since corroded. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Keep us in touch with that. I'll tap my buddy Gerard on the shoulder and see. He may be even listening today. Sometimes he listens to the show, and I'll see.
Yeah, maybe. If somebody comes up with something like that, drop me a line, an email, or something.
Exactly. I will. Very good.
All right, also, send me an email with Chris's home phone number. When you were talking last time that he did the show and I missed it, I lost his number. So I'd like to give him a call and touch base because I found a whole bunch of tapes from back in 2001, 2002 of shows that we'd done together. And I was listening to some of them and forgot the amount of fun that we had over the years doing this thing. So
blackmail is illegal, sir.
Keep the thought alive and, as they say, keep on cruising. Old lines.
You got it, Brock. All right. Thanks,
all right, guys. Take care.
Good talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That was the Bronc from Nevada.
Now I'm curious. Now I'm going to have to find a wiring diagram myself because I'm not a bike person. You know that.
But it's just, that's just an electrical problem. It's just a system. It's not really motorcycle.
That sounds like some goofy short or a resistive short between something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look, and there's another resistive short. The lights flash again.
Let's go back to the phones and say, hi, you're on the Motor Mouths.
Yes, good morning. Is it Ray?
Yes, Liz, you have Ray and Joe.
Bonjour.
Okay, bonjour. I have a funny story to tell you. And here it is.
Sure.
Okay, my friend always leaves a BMW every year. Well, every 3 years or so. She has a BMW 330, four doors. The year is 2017, okay? Her mileage was 13,000 miles, okay? The vehicle was not pre-owned. It was right off the showroom floor at Oyster Bay.
Okay.
So that means it was a new car, okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Then she was on Staten Island Expressway on July 4th. All of a sudden, in the traffic, just imagine that, in the middle of the traffic, the car went dead.
Ooh.
That's not good.
Okay, that's not good.
Okay, that's not good. And then she managed, by a work of God, to drive the car on the shoulder. And then she could not get a towing company because AAA denied to come and pick her up. BMW says, no, we can't do that. And I guess, you know, a private towing company came.
Okay.
Guess what was the problem? The fuel pump went out.
On a brand new car.
Wow.
And it was not signaled. She had no clue what was happening. No
wow.
clue.
That's unusual. We have on any car, BMW, whether it's a Hyundai or a BMW or a GM car, that's weird. But
that's very weird.
Wow.
So anyway, she was very upset, of course, and she was very scared. But, you know, she gives thanks to God that her and her daughter were safe. And
Thankfully,
promised her to call you because you are the expert. And I don't wish anybody to go through that because just imagine you are in the middle of a heavy traffic on the expressway and your car goes dead.
So let me just ask Liz, I guess by now the car has been to the dealer repaired and she's been driving it for now a few months again, correct?
Yes, but BMW could not explain what happened because, you know, there was no signal on the dashboard.
No, you wouldn't.
I mean, actually, they technically don't have to explain it. They just have to fix it, technically,
yeah,
you know.
Okay, but when you experience this, I guess it can happen to any kind of car.
Yes.
But it's very frightening when you are on the expressway and your car goes dead.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, you're right. And any of us at any time in any vehicle could go through a failure like or anything like that, some kind of a failure. And, yeah, that's kind of the risk we take by driving on the highways. And, you know, it's unfortunate that happened. Luckily, nobody got hurt and there was no accident.
BMW, very sophisticated, you don't have a warning that
No, well, you know, I'll tell you this, too. When an electrical component or even a mechanical component fails, many times there is no onset. There's like it's a hard failure, and it just goes.
Okay.
It's like a heart attack. Like, you don't see it coming, and it's like, oh, I can't, you know.
Yeah, bang, that's
right,
the end of it. Yeah.
Other times you do see it coming, and then you can maybe prevent it. But this was one of those unfortunate hard failures. It could have been something stupid like the plug, the wire, like
something fell,
loosened, yeah.
Well, all right. Thank you for your feedback. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay, Liz. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye, Liz.
Bye.
All righty, Joe, we're going to take our first break, and we're going to be hopefully talking with Mr. Dave Barden when we come back. And, you know, we're doing the sun thing because it's kind of getting to the end of summer. But you know what? When I think of the end of summer or summer in general, I always think about drag racing and making noise. So let's go visit Jan and Dean, and we'll be back in a little bit on Motormouth Radio. And keep it where you got it.
Is brought to you by the NYCB Theater at Westbury, who present Dick Fox's Fall Doo-Wop Extravaganza, starring the Duprees, Sonny Turner, lead singer of the Platters, Jay Segal's Tokens, The Happenings, The Capris, Joey D, and The Dimensions, on Sunday, September 16th at 3 p.m. More information can be found online at venue.thetheateratwestbury.com.
See, this is hi-fi, okay? High fidelity. You know what that means? That means this is the highest quality fidelity. High five. Those are two very important things to have in the stereo system.
Join me, Kim Tracy, on High Fidelity for a mix of music with a focus on newer music and lesser-known artists every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and streaming with the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps.
right, we're back from Drag City. Ray Guarino, Joe D, Motormouth Radio. And we are going to go back to the phones and back to the fun and see who we have on the line. When we say hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hi there.
Hey, who are we speaking with?
My name is Paul from Merrick.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah, Paul, what's up?
What's up, man?
I'm trying to get the resolve with water coming in. I believe it's through the windshield. I've been trying to duplicate it after a rain, but I am getting absolute just, and I know it's not a motor thing, but it's a car thing, and I've got no answers and no kind of help to move along with this.
What kind of car out. What kind of car are we talking about, Paul?
2004 Toyota 4Runner.
Okay. Was there any damage incurred in the car in its history, or?
Never.
Nothing?
Never.
Where do you see
it? Showed up one day while I was washing it.
And where do you see it coming through? The right, left, middle, center, top, bottom?
Both sides. I got driver's side, passenger side, and right down onto the carpet on both.
You got a sunroof.
I mean, like, it just streams in.
Drains. Yeah. Is there a sunroof in that 4Runner, Paul?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
First place you want to look. All right.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
And I checked the channeling, and that's all good. I checked all of near the, I guess when you pop open the hood and you got your arm holding it, I mean, there's drainage areas there. You know, I know that you got acorns and all the other crap that
falls
in that area. But
all the ones that I've...
I can open the door and see between the door closing that area that the drip is coming right down and channeling right underneath the rugs.
Because the drip
smells like the drain.
Yeah, the drains for the sunroof, they come down the A-pillars of the car, and they'll dump out somewhere between the fender and the inner structure of the car.
That's right.
And what I've had to do on a couple of cars in the family is I've used little Tygon tubing. I made long snakes. I've used compressed air, whatever I had to do. Because if it backs up, that's how it finds an alternate path.
Right. What you want to do, maybe, is that seeing as how you know where the drains are, all right, open the sunroof up and intentionally send water down the holes in a controlled manner.
What I would do is get like a bottle and with a little nozzle on it that I could just squeeze, like a hypodermic, say, to get just the water. And you'll see the drain holes, Paul, they're right in the corners.
Awesome.
And put the water straight down into the drains. And if it backs up and comes back at you, you know there's a clog because... It should never clog.
But, okay, and if it's clogged, what's that?
Well, that's when I've taken pieces of wire and sent them down. You
compressed
don't
like
air.
A snake. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But gently because it's
okay. So there's the first possible, but second, if it's not, is it just a windshield caulking thing? That's a possibility.
Pretty unlikely.
Both sides.
Yeah, fairly unlikely because windshields now they seal very, very well. I mean, the other thing you could do is you could visit either a body shop or a glass guy, and I mean that's the kind of thing they look at all the time.
Yeah.
But I would look at it yourself first. I would tackle that thing and see if you can.
You said something
sunroof.
About
sunroof. Didn't even think about sunroof. That's amazing.
Right.
That's why you guys are.
You said something about washing.
The ratings that you need to get.
Have you been listening for a while, Paul?
Oh my God! I think I win more tickets with the guys.
Oh, on the station
shows. It's so awesome. I love it.
Paul's
thank you very much,
very
man.
Good.
Appreciate it.
Keep up the great work. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Paul.
Good luck with that, man. Let us know how you make out, okay?
I will.
Thank you.
So long.
Bye.
That was very good to hear from Paul. That's we love to hear from our friends of the station because it does.
Yeah. I had a Chevy Equinox at the shop that they small mammal built. They built the restriction on one side, like right behind the fender.
Yeah.
Boy, was it mad when we had to give it the eviction notice.
I had to clean my daughter's Stratus's drains out like almost every other year because it was a magnet. And I guess the way where she parked it was indigenous to, for that kind of stuff. So we are getting another pull.
Flashing again.
Yeah, let's go back to the phones and say hi. You're on the Motormouths.
Hi, this is John from Freeport, and I'm no expert, but when it was dripping water on my feet, it was the air conditioning thing that was clogged up, right?
Well, yeah, that's
another one.
It could
absolutely
be the evaporator drain, exactly, that's on the firewall, but he's seen it on both sides, and the AC would drip just in the passenger compartment.
Correct.
But, all right, I'll take that.
But I like the way you're thinking.
Yep.
All right, I'm tuned in. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks,
John.
Man.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Listeners helping listeners.
That's it. See? We should have like some kind of forum. Oh, wait a minute. We do. Yeah, motormouthradio.com. You could come access our various blogs and We got a lot of information there.
There is. Plus
pictures you can make fun of.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Joe, because there's new stuff going up weekly on MotorMouthRadio.com.
Yes.
We have our favorite best car movies. Now there's going to be best or favorite motorcycle movies up there. You can sign up for the weekly email, and you'll get one email that'll just give you the highlights of what happened that week, and then you can click on them and see them for yourself. It's not intrusive. No one's trying to sell you anything or give you Bitcoin advice or whatever. It's all kind of just fun. Just a way that you can catch up if you didn't get to listen to the show.
By all means, yeah.
But hey, and I got a funny thing here. There was a little thing I read, and I guess
more phones, more fun.
I guess I won't be quizzing you because we got this. We're going again. Let's go back to the phones and back to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, good afternoon, Ray. Good afternoon, Joe.
Hey. Is this Dave?
This is David from Power Pro.
David Barden from Power Pro. How are you, Dave?
Hey, how are you?
Excellent.
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Not bad. Still standing.
As you see, we've had a spate of early calls, and the phone was kind of tied up, but I'm glad we got you on now. So.
Good.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm sure of that for a second.
Yeah, we didn't even get a chance to talk you up, give you schmooze you, do all the usual stuff we do for a guest, but hey, this works too.
Right. So, Dave, let me get this right. If I have this correct, you're the Senior Manager of Training Services and Diagnostics for Power Pro Tech. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's apparently the new title they've given me.
Okay. Well, we bow down to that because Joe and I are both tech-oriented guys, so we appreciate when a trainer... Joe's done a lot of training.
Yeah.
And we know how important that is, especially in this world. So.
Bang, rock, look, spark.
Yeah. So I don't know how you if you have a plan on how to encapsulate what you do. Or we want to know about the Power Pro, so...
Yeah. In other words, you got a shtick, let it roll.
You're on.
Well, I'm assuming you guys are familiar with it, but for those people that aren't familiar with the Power Probe, we tried to combine the everyday testing tools that a technician uses, such as a test light, such as a voltmeter, and jumper leads, into one easy-to-use tool. And starting with the basic Power Probe 3, it's essentially a small little six-inch tool with a couple-inch probe coming out the end of it and a little voltmeter display. There's a 20-foot cable set that connects to your vehicle's battery.
Yeah, that's what I got, the 3.
Right. That's our most popular tool.
Mm-hmm.
That allows
deservedly
you
so.
A few special things you can't do with other testers. Probably what we're most famous for is because I'm connected to the battery, I can literally apply battery power or battery ground right from the tip of the tool. So you're able to activate components through power or ground on the car in place.
Yes. As Joe likes to call it, the world's smartest set of test leads, leads, right? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, my box of snakes, my jumper leads, Ray's always making fun of that. I have like 72,000 jumper leads with all different type of terminals and stuff I've crimped together over the years for different stuff.
Sure.
And now I've been grabbing the Power Probe.
Right.
You know, I was a little gun-shy about Power Probe for some time. And then I finally said, you know what, some of this stuff about the, you know, I decided to get myself a 3 because I like the voltmeter. I don't like I don't like probing stuff blind because, and now I use the thing a lot. And, you know, the other day I was working on a power antenna that wouldn't go up and down even though everything was hooked up. And then I finally had somebody flip the switch. Johnny and Dougie, remember? Ignition on, radio on, remember that?
Yeah.
For the 700th time.
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, I only had 2.5 volts going to the antenna. So I was like, oh, okay. In the meantime, and then once we fixed the bad connection, it was fine. With the Power Probe, without breaking out the Fluke and all the other stuff, and, you know, a test light wouldn't light up in a case like that. So
This
actually gave me sort of a... Better than a yes and no, a go and no go type of approach. It actually gave me the lowdown without whipping out a lot of extra equipment.
Yeah.
Right.
Real time save, I gotta say.
Now, excellent. I guess just a little background. Before I came to Power Probe about 6 years ago, the most recent place I worked was rental car agencies. And that's high volume, quick turnaround work. We got paid factory warranty money from almost all the major manufacturers, but they didn't want us wasting more than half an hour on a car.
Yep.
Just because of the volume we had. And tools like the Power Probe allowed us to get a lot more of that diagnostic work done in that shortened time period that we had. It literally changed my life in the world that I came from.
Yeah, yeah. I saw, Dave, on the on powerprobe.com, on the website, it does say that in 1991, the goal was to make the ultimate automotive circuit tester, which I think the company has done. Whose vision was that?
That was Mr. Jeff Wisenand.
Okay.
He came out of the Army as a mechanic in Germany, spent some time over there, developed the initial idea, phoned money up, promoted it out to the tool truck guys, and the company grew from there.
Right, right.
Great idea.
Yeah, it is
fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic
idea, must say.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it one of those you just kind of want to slap your forehead? Why didn't I think of that?
Well,
oh, yeah.
You know, and that's like Joe said, we all have different test clips. I know I went down to the shop I work at one day with as I was bringing tools down, and I brought a cork with a bunch of T-pins, and I showed the fellow I work with. I'm like, here, they're in my top left drawer. You may need these. He's like, for what? I'm like, well, when you want to probe a circuit, you want to back probe, and you want to get into a connector, and then you put your alligator clip on this. You know, we all have our workarounds, our tips and tricks. The Power Probe certainly makes it a lot easier because you can power or you could command ground. Now, being that that's the case, there are a couple pitfalls with the Power Probe that I think you're going to let our listeners in on about how they can get in trouble with it, right?
That's right. And a lot of the training I do is at, like, the technical colleges training young technicians. And, of course, the instructors are a little leery of putting a tool that can actually apply battery power into a learning technician's hands. And I always preach, you know, that ability to power up components and power up circuits is a great power, but with great power comes
great
responsibility.
Yes.
Right, yes.
So I really should preach to technicians, you really got to know the circuit you're working on. You don't want to be doing that on sensitive circuits like sensors and stuff like that unless you really know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Or unless you got a hook.
Correct.
Which is, for people who don't know, we'll get to that. The hook is another tool made by Power Probe.
Yeah,
so we'll get to that later.
That, yeah.
Yeah. So what are some of the pitfalls, Dave? How can people hurt themselves or hurt the job by using the tool incorrectly?
Without the magic smoke.
It's applying power in the wrong place at the wrong time. I can think of a story where a guy did some damage on a pretty expensive car. He was trying to test. And it seemed like a pretty simple test. He was trying to test an AC compressor, whether it would engage or not. And most AC compressors in the past were simple on and off, basically magnets or solenoids like that. But the new ones are duty cycle controlled.
Oh,
he didn't realize
yeah.
that on the car he was on.
Okay.
And so he applied power directly into a computer circuit and took out the module that was controlling that compressor.
Duplicated it, yep.
Mm.
So, like I was saying, you really need to be aware of the circuit you're on before you attempt to apply power or ground.
Right, right.
Now, there's some things you can do, like if you intentionally trip the circuit breaker on any of the power probes, they will still measure your things all day long. It just kind of locks you out from accidentally applying power or ground.
Right. Well, that's
and, good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I tell some of the instructors, since the rocker switches on them are a replaceable wear part, they pop right out. You can give them the Power Probe without the rocker switch to do all their testing, and then when they need to apply power, they have to come and see the instructor for the trigger.
That's a good idea. And to that note, I noticed that there, I think it's available for the three, there is a lock button that you can apply to the power button or ground button to keep it engaged.
The safety, yeah.
Yeah, which is nice. If you have to leave the tool and go take a look, you can actually have the power applied when you walk back to the back of the car, or if a 20-foot or 40-foot lead isn't big enough for you.
Those gremlins could be very mischievous when you're not watching them.
Yeah, yeah. Dave, could you walk us through? You know, we have just throw something out to you. We have a car that we're gonna be working on, and it has brake lights. One brake light works, the other brake light doesn't work. And how would you go about a diagnostic like that using the Power Probe?
Initially, I'm probably going to check power and ground coming to the bulb.
Mm-hmm.
And if everything looks okay, one of the advantages I didn't get to being connected directly to the battery obviously gives me the ability to apply power or ground, but it's also a reference for the tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's connected to the battery ground, which is the only true ground on the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Every other ground on the vehicle is trying to get back to that battery ground. So I could be at the trunk or the rear of the car and maybe clip on the body, but it could be a bad ground causing my brake light problem to begin with.
How many
never
times have
it.
I gotten skunked by that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always referencing, it's comparing the battery voltage to any voltage on the tip. And if it sees a difference of more than half a volt, that normal red light and tone that you get will not go on. So it'll alert you if there's a voltage drop in the circuit.
Oh,
ooh, that's nice to know.
That is nice.
That's very nice to know.
Excellent.
Yeah, because so yeah, one of the things I've always had a little bit of a avoidance to with electronic, you know, a plain old test light, you got to stab it. It's got to have voltage. It's got to have current to light up the light. Whereas some of the electronic stuff, you know, like the LED test lights of yore, if you will, you know, like you could have like minimal current passing through that, and you'd say, oh look, you got 12 volts, got a red light. You know, and same with ground too. But so that way you're saying that this thing has to have a an appreciable load on it. You know, in other words, like a viable current flow for it to do its thing.
It's a pretty high impedance meter. It'll kind of indicate more like your LED test light.
Okay.
The load you can put on it,
mm-hmm,
is like if you're testing a power supply, mm-hmm, I can literally short it to ground, and if it's strong enough to trip the circuit breaker, I know it carries a load.
Okay. So in other
now,
words,
you have to be careful on a fuse circuit if it's a low amp circuit about doing that.
Yeah, right. Well, so in other words, you're using the circuit breaker sometimes as a diagnostic device there.
Typically verifying strength of ground points. I will apply, you know, like directly if there's a common set of grounds that are bolted to a fender or a frame rail or something like that, I can hit those with a positive applying of the Power Probe 3, and if it's strong enough to trip the circuit breaker, I know that
the ground's ground has you have strength. Integrity of the ground, yeah.
I like this guy. He's got spunk.
Yeah. He's got moxie. Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, that's great. And he's not afraid to see a spark fly like us. Like us guys. No, that is fantastic.
Nice trick. That one's going in the repertoire.
See, that's
sure.
That's Joe again, that's why I like to talk to guys who do some sort of training, because they know real world stuff. They're out there doing it, like yourself. You've done that many times, and you know, that stuff isn't in the books. It's not in the in the instructor's manual. It's the real world stuff. That's, you know, that's what the guy in the front line got to see, not the general back at the bunker. David, you guys, Power Probe also has, I find pretty interestingly, which piques my interest a lot, a full line of brake bleeding tools and adapters, which
yeah,
I see.
Yeah, they don't do probes just anymore. Now they do all kinds of flashlights.
I know.
Torches.
And with me, if I'm not involved with rust, I'm covered in brake fluid. It seems to be all I do these days at the shop where I spend my time. So
people say you're a breaker, right?
Yeah, they know they do. Yeah, can you speak to that product line a little bit?
I'm somewhat familiar with them.
Okay,
they're a nice set of machined aluminum brake cylinder master cylinder adapters.
Yeah, they are nice.
They're
plastic. Yeah, I know. What you're going
they come
on.
In a variety of sizes. Most of them to fit specific vehicles, but there are a couple of universal adapters.
Mm-hmm.
They have a nice quick connect fitting on the top, so you can quick disconnect to your brake bleeder.
Mm-hmm.
We do also offer a brake bleeder, but it works with many other different brands. There are many different brands of brake bleeders on the market.
Oh, yeah.
Rubber band
and
buggy
most
bumpers.
Of them utilize our caps.
Nice, nice.
No
they're
kidding.
They're that good. They
wow.
have a... Most of them have what's called an expanding O-ring seal that, you know, that you can really crank down and ensure you have a really good leak-proof seal on your master cylinder.
That's great, yeah, because, you know, when it comes to bleeding, especially these days, you got to pressure bleed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The old sit there.
Yep.
Pump it! You know, well, I think the guy at the lift institute that we're going to have on, he doesn't like when people go up in the lift. So,
no, he doesn't.
Yeah. You know.
You're wasting your labor time.
Although many of the cars that I work on, they're older and they get full brake jobs, you know, replacement parts, lines, calipers, masters, and all. And you know, I usually start with a Mighty Vac tool, and I can go to the air powered Mighty Vac if I need to. But I usually end up following up with a foot bead, with a pump and dump. It usually is the polish, the way you polish off a brake lead, just on the cars I've been working on, I've seen.
Sure.
So. whatever. But yeah, this is nice because when I was bumping through the website, I saw this stuff and it caught me like, ooh, shiny colors, beautiful. You had my attention. And it's like looking at all the wires and all the hookup stuff for the power probes. You guys have more cables and cases and tech related parts on powerprobe.com. You can get anything as a replacement for
the 5-volt adapter is on my list. Right,
very nice.
Top, yes.
Yeah, very nice stuff. And the piercing, the back probe tools are very nice too. The wire piercing tools.
I'm a stabber. I admit it. I'm a stabber. I'm a back prober. I'm a stabber.
right. You know. Now, Dave, I know all the tool guys, in fact, the tool guys we use sell the power probe, but I know they're also available other ways. What is the, what would you recommend the best way for people to go out and purchase their power probe?
We like supporting our tool dealers, but it should be available through most of your major auto parts stores and your typical online outlets.
Right.
Since you don't want to play favorites, I'm not sure if I should really name any names or not.
You can. I mean, yeah, you can. You don't have to if you don't want to. That's fine.
People typically online shop, you'll probably find some good deals. But your local auto parts store, your NAPAs, your AutoZones, they should be, if they don't carry it already, they can order it for you.
I actually tell you, I did that. I was looking for some shopping ideas on there, and Walmart came up. So I said, no, come on. So I went to the Walmart by my house. No, they don't have it. And I went to a Walmart in Tennessee when I was on vacation. I figured, maybe a bigger one. No, they didn't have it either. So I don't know why they keep, maybe I guess because they can order it. Maybe.
Well, they got like a website they're trying to compete with some of the other.
Right.
Yeah, they're trying to be like retailers. Amazon.
Yeah. Okay, you said the A word. That's
right. Cool. Well, Amazon, right. And Amazon, of course, comes right up, and they do have some really killer prices, I got to tell you.
Yeah. No, they're around. I mean, they've definitely perfused themselves all over the place. But how many are there? Are they all still on the market? All the different power probes? Because I know there's the three, there's the two, sure, there's right. The hook.
So I'll give you a quick rundown of the generations.
Okay.
There's currently still the Power Probe 3.
Okay.
The Power Probe 3S, which is an updated version of that, which is soon to be replaced by the Power Probe 3EZ, which has some built-in learning and diagnostics built into it.
Ooh.
All those tools are actually functionally the same. They're just getting better and better and better. We have what's called the Power Probe 4, which is more like taking a full-on multimeter and putting in your power probe. So besides your DC voltmeter, you've got AC, you've got frequency, you've got resistance, all those other multimeter functions built in the Power Probe 4.
Nice.
How do you fit it in there? It's a small tool, man.
It's got wheels.
Yeah, I guess. Wow. That's impressive, Dave.
There was the Power Probe hook that was discontinued for a while, but it looks like they're going to relaunch it. That was our bigger, heavy-duty tool. It could handle up to 48 volts. It could handle up to 65 amps.
Yeah.
It was a little more complicated, a little more expensive. It was kind of a sales dud the first time around, but now it's sort of become legendary, and it looks like they're going to re-release it.
It's kind of intimidating, especially the way it's able to generate signals.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the power, the availability of power was very cool. You know what I mean? Because, you know, sometimes I get a little worried about, like, you know, the big ass fan motors or
right.
You know, some of them power window motors on like an old Lincoln, you know, where like you could actually you could actually hear like the inner sanctum opening up, you know, that thing sounded like, but especially somebody like me that does a lot of sensor work, you know what I mean, to be able to like to swipe, you know, swipe a 5-volt reference rather than running a jumper wire from one sensor to the other,
that's one of the nice features in the hood.
It's also like a signal simulator too.
Uh-huh.
So that means it has a function, like a function generator built in, or a signal generator, I should say.
It's able to put out.
You could select the voltage output up to a certain 5 volts, I believe it was.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. Yeah, and you go up to 48 volts, which, geez, if you're not getting power when you hit 48 volts to a thing, you better get the paddles and say charge, you know.
I was going to say, that's for me.
Yeah,
not for the car. That's for me, just in case, you know.
To get up in the morning? No. Yeah, I don't know. Wow, that's...
Just to be clear, the tools put out whatever voltage battery you're connected to. So if you're connected to a 12-volt battery,
right,
you'll put out to it. If you're connected to 24-volt system, you'll put out 24 volts, etc.
Right.
Of course.
Now, the 3s and the 4s can do up to 24-volt systems, but the hook could go all the way up to 48-volt system.
Right.
That's pretty impressive, yeah. I mean, most automotive / truck guys, 24 volts is pretty much the top.
That's
you know what
it,
I mean?
Yeah.
But it's nice to know. It's nice to know you have it if you need it.
Absolutely.
I mean, because that's another one that's on my Christmas list. Is the is the Hook.
Captain Hook. Is there anything on the horizon for Power Probe, Dave, that you can tell us about? Anything that's in development or, you know, soon to come out besides like the 3S and the EZ?
So we're working on the next generation of Bluetooth-enabled tools, which should be exciting. I think you'll see launches soon. I know you've been on the PowerProbe.com website. There's actually a new website, PowerProbeTech. TEK.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're kind of starting a new direction. We want to be more like the K in tech is supposed to stand for knowledge. And one of the reasons they put me in my position is we want to spread that knowledge.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, our tech line is staffed with a bunch of master technicians with lots of dealership experience. And you'd be amazed what we're able to talk through customers when they get stuck on a car or something.
Oh, that's
they're just
cool.
Not sure how to use the tool.
You know,
we're there to help coach you through your diagnosis.
And not only that, I called that number. The 88 number in California, and I got a fellow named Brandon, and he sent me right to you. So these guys do know how to funnel the information to the right people. So, yeah, you got a great staff over there, I got to say. It's a good team, very good team.
Great, thank you.
How many people work at the company? Is it a big deal, or is it kind of close and family-like?
It's pretty small and family-like. We're under 50 people, I still believe.
Okay. Yeah, that's how you guys are at, like, in Brea, California, out in the, isn't that kind of like almost a desert? Almost?
Yeah, California pretty much most is. But, you know, Southern California, especially Orange County, Brea area, this was the hotbed of hot rodding back in the day.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, absolutely.
I grew up just a couple of blocks off of Whittier Boulevard, the main cruising area. It was just a dynamite place to grow up if you were into cars.
So you're a car guy by osmosis. So that's pretty cool.
We got to ask you then, what was your hot rod cruiser of choice?
Oh, my gosh. There's been a bunch over the years.
What was the first one?
The first one was an unusual one, 1971 Capri.
Oh, cool. A Capri.
Those are cool.
With a souped-up 2-liter that did about 10,000 RPM with dual Webers on it.
Wow. Yeah. That hangs with my Fiat with the 2-liter with the Weber. Yeah,
and things are screaming as them Capris. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was like kind of the other Mustang going the other way.
Right. What was your favorite? What was your favorite or American car of choice?
My all-time favorite that I should have never let go was a 1970 Mercury Cougar with 351 Cleveland 300 horsepower 4-barrel engine.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, you should come down and help me diagnose the 69 Mustang Mach 1 M code that I'm working on. The 351, they put a 5-speed in it, though. So,
I'm with you.
Yeah, come on down, man. We'll have some fun. Yeah, that's great. That's what we find too, Dave, with this show and Joe and I. Our history is a steeped rich in hot rods, and we've kind of grown somewhat. Joe's grown a lot more than I have evolutionarily with the newer stuff.
All right, enough with the fat jokes.
Yeah, no, not that way. I mean, you know, in the tech, I'm kind of stuck with the old school. I kind of stayed with my old school roots, but we like to embrace it all here on Motor Mouth Radio, and that's why we like to have guys like you who can speak all languages and or all dialects of hot rodism and share that with us.
And
that's what I love about your guys' show.
That's cool. Thank you very much. That's a nice compliment.
Excellent. And I'll tell you what, we're going to have to let you go so we can take care of business, but we would love to. You have an open invitation to come back. Brian, the Matco man from out of state, he's over in from Maryland.
Yeah.
He's listening in, and he's giving you a thumbs up. So tool guys are out there playing. And, you know, if you have anything, you have our contact information. So if anything comes up, you want to break or get on the show, you want to talk about, get in touch with us, and we'll schedule you back
new
in.
New product stuff, tech tips, stuff like that, hit us up. Give it to us to put it on our website.
Even cruising on Whittier Boulevard. We'll talk about that, too. What the heck?
Bring Definitely. It.
All right.
Don't dare me. I will be calling.
Not a problem. You know how to get in touch with us.
Okay. Bring it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Dave.
Great talking to you.
Thank you very much. So
thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Again, that was Dave Barden from Power Probe. You can go to PowerProbeTech.com or PowerProbe.com.
And the K stands for knowledge.
That's right. And get all your cool stuff. We're going to take our last break, but I have to mention a show you may want to listen to is Herbally Yours on Tuesdays at 3:30 p.m., hosted by the naturalist Ellen Kamai. Show focuses on current issues in natural health, such as natural foods, herbs, essential oils, and mind-body techniques, all the stuff we usually don't employ, Joe, you or I. So with that, I think I saw a cop car pulling up outside. Let's revisit this. We'll come back to to more Motor Mouth Radio.
I'll be back. I'm going to the bathroom now.
Book them down.
Are you telling the microphone to smile so you could take a picture of it?
Yeah. So, which side do you think is its good side?
It's just a microphone.
I know, it's a microphone. Perfect. I think I'll put the Lark filter on it.
Why did you take a picture of the microphone, and who cares what filter you're going to use?
You'd care if you followed 903WHPC on Instagram.
Oh, Instagram. Wait, I want to go viral. Take a picture of me. Get my good side and use that Lark filter.
Follow 903WHPC on Instagram and join the conversation from the voice of Nassau Community College.
I said, get my good side. Delete that.
Ugh.
That's 903WHPC on Instagram from 90.3WHPC.
This is Dennis Pitzenbarger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motor Mouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk every single weekend.
Oh, beautiful outro to it.
King Kamehameha.
Yeah, that's right.
I got to go find myself a Mercury Marauder right now.
What are you doing with that carved wooden cup that you're drinking out of, Joe? That's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Seeking Jamaharon.
Yeah. So that was a great interview with Dave Barden. You can check that out on Motormouth Radio. If you missed it, it'll be up on the website later today, tomorrow, whenever we sometimes have a little bit of a lag.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I like stuff like that. And that, like I said, that's a... When you finally get me to use a tool that did, you know, I've only used it for about a year or so. All right. When you finally get me to like finally say, it's okay. It's good. When it makes it into the front part of my box, you know what I mean? Then it's definitely got the Joey D thumbs up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I got to get me one of them. That's my next tool on the list. I did divert. Oh, I did something so stupid yesterday. I knew it was going to kill me.
Uh-oh.
Because I bought some more sockets and whatnot, and I started rearranging my toolbox to put the sockets in a drawer where they fit better. And you know that I'm never going to go there at first. I'm always going to go to where they've been for 35 years.
We are creatures of habit.
Oh, creatures are right. Hey, I got a little quiz for you that I found in one of my emails. Which of these famous parts manufacturers, Joe, since you happen to know parts manufacturers near and dear, which of their names was derived from a company's founder's last name? I'll throw it out to you, then we'll go to the phones. Was it Cardone, Timken, that was, or Wix, or all of them? And with that, we'll go to the phones, and we'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Or Wix?
Yes, caller. Turn the radio down and come back to the phone.
I'm here. Ray. Joe D.
Yeah.
Glenn, what are you doing?
What's going? I've been listening to your little tool discussion, and I figured I have to give a public service announcement at this time.
Okay.
If you're a car guy, and you've got tools and parts in your house, and you are moving, get ready for the biggest hell of your entire life.
And why is that? Because of the weight of those tools?
It's just so much stuff. I'm finding tools. Like I said, I'm looking at stuff and going, wow, I haven't seen this in 20 years.
Oh, wow. I guess you haven't needed it.
Exactly. And now I'm at the point where I'm getting ready to put all the tools into boxes or bags, and I'm dreading the fact that I'm going to need a tool because I'll never find it. But just the amount of car parts, you know, Ray, the amount of stuff that you collect over the years.
Right.
And you look at every part and go, well, I can't throw that out. I may need that.
Right. Of course.
Car guys are hoarders.
Yeah. Rightfully so. You know, I have bins and organized bins of just miscellanea. One of them I brought to the shop. It was all of my like brass fittings, oil pressure fittings, and plugs, things like that. Because I find I'm using them all the time. I always go to that when I need a little piece of something.
Sure.
And yeah,
junk drawer is more organized than most auto parts stores. I got to say,
that's right.
I went to get hosed the other day at AutoZone. I just needed some vacuum line. The guy points at me down this dark aisle, and it's just like this thing of snakes just hanging there. I was like, I ain't going back there.
Yeah,
but organizing it. And then the sheer volume of it, right?
Well,
am I right?
Yeah, you're right. Glenn, I hadn't noticed that, you know, if you I guess you use a toolbox at home, right? I really hadn't noticed if you had or not, but...
Yeah, toolbox has been down in the basement because I didn't have all the garages before. I mean,
okay,
you know how we all start. We're a kid. We go over to Sears. We pick up one of those little Craftsman sets.
Right, right.
And then you build. I don't have a super toolbox. I don't. I'm not a mechanic by trade a living. But
all right, so that makes it easier.
I've got whatever tools I need. If I don't have it, I buy it. And now I see this as a good opportunity to go through everything, reorganize, clean. But I am, once I get to my new location, I am completely scared that I'm going to be looking for stuff for another 5 years.
Yeah,
you start off trying to be organized. And then it's just like, okay, throw all that stuff in that box. So then now I'm down to the wire. It's like, okay, just take all that stuff, throw it in that box, and tape it up.
Well, label the box. The good thing is I have had the fortune of seeing the house you're moving to, and I know that you have a lot of space. You can get organized, or you can at least get spread out.
There you go.
Yeah.
And which will lead to organization, you know, in your own time. So, yeah, I think you'll be fine.
Another little hint. Digital pictures.
Right.
Take a picture of everything that's going into a box and just like, you know, box number three, you know, writing number three on the box or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, Glenn's got a great camera. He uses it all the time.
Yep.
that would have been a good thing to do at the beginning. What I started doing was I had started a wall chart.
Ah.
And I was trying to keep track. And then someone would say, you know, you got that thing you're taking with me. I think I want to buy it from you. And then I'd go ripping the boxes open again.
Oh, yeah.
Or I would need something because I'm still here. And then, you know, there's a gap between you're still living here, but you're going to move there, but you still need to be alive here, and you still may need something.
Still got to function,
No, I understand. Well, the good thing, too, in the future, all the cars you have and will probably buy in the future are old and getting older. So you don't need the newer stuff. And I found this from dealing with the tool guys. A lot of the newer guys that have some stuff, they trade in their American tools. They don't even want them anymore. I got a set of American swivel sockets, a full rail of them, for $100. And I mean, these things list for like almost four. Like
I was going to say, usually you'd pay that much for like three sockets.
Exactly. Because the guy, the fella had also bought a rack of American and metric. And I said to him, hey, what are you doing with the Americans? You're not going to need them. You work in a body shop. Everything is metric. He goes, well, I might need them. I'm like, no, you don't. I said, you need to sell them to me. And I said, I'll give you what you paid for them. He said, what? And I actually took the $100 out of my pocket. I put it. He goes, you got the money? I threw it down. I'm like, right here. And that sealed the deal. So you're in a good position because American tools are still around, and you can get them used and cheap. So whatever you need, you'll be able to find. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Very good. But yeah, did you hear the quiz? Do you have an answer to that? Which of these famous parts manufacturers' names was derived from a company founder's last name? Cardone, Timken, Wicks, or all of them?
I'm going to say Wicks probably wasn't someone's name, so I'm guessing Cardone.
Okay, good guess. Joe, do you have a guess on that? Do you weigh in?
I have a funny feeling that they all have some element of a name of the originator's name.
And you are correct.
Oh, yeah, and we also got that from the sky. Thanks, Jim. Jim was first.
Michael Cardone was from that company, Henry Timken, and Jack Wicks. But Jack's name was actually spelled W-I-C-K-S. They changed made the company name W-I-S.
Save on typeface.
I guess to save, yeah. So, yeah. So that was
that after he killed his dog?
I don't know.
That reminds me, when I worked in the dealerships in Long Island, we had a towing company. I guess I can name Long Island Tow, I think it was called, right?
Okay.
And he's talking to me one day, and the owner's name was Lester, and he says, yeah, my last name is Toe. I said, get out of here. So he takes his driver's license out, and his last name is T-O-W.
Oh, my word. That is ridiculous.
That's pretty cool.
I said, come on, you changed it, right? He goes, that's my name.
Oh,
I said, so when you were born, you figured you've got to start a tow truck company, right? Is that it?
You can't make that one up. That's great. Well, Glenn, thanks for the story. We're going to have to wrap. We've got to get at the end of our show, and we're going to have to wrap
it. Saddled up here.
So,
have a good show.
All right.
Have a good show, guys. Keep it up.
Talk to you soon, Glenn.
Take care.
All right, Joe, you had something you wanted to talk about that was an upcoming cinematic.
Yes, you were talking about car movies. This has the potential of being one. This is the movie actually my car is in from a couple of years back. It's called Cruise.
Okay.
You know, and if you're on social media or like Instagram, Facebook, it's called Franny Lou. You know, sometimes it's under Franny Lou Cruise.
Right.
They shot, and I was there for a lot of this. They shot at locations in Whitestone.
You had many long, cold nights.
Well, yeah, it was supposed to be the summertime when this was happening. Oh, no, it wasn't.
Right, right.
Yeah, Francis Lewis Boulevard, the Carvel, the Bowling Alley.
Cunningham Park?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that too. That was like a staging area. But nice. It looks like it's got... it looks like it's got some real potential. I think, you know, it's more from the 80s. So right. Some of us old farts may not relate too much to it, but
yeah.
I think they will, because also there was a ton of cars. I mean, it was like old home week when I showed up there.
That's funny.
And I ran into a whole boatload of guys I have not seen in a whole bunch of years. So this should be good, and I think it's going to be worth checking out. I know I'm going to do it either way. It's supposed to be movie theaters and supposedly on demand. So
I know we want
hopefully
to
get some details on that from the folks out there. If you're listening out there, Mr. G there.
Now, is he the creator, the director? What's his title?
He just had his hand in everything, from what I understand.
Okay, we want to get him on the show and have him talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, and I got to drive his Grand National a little bit, cool. which is the star of the movie, pretty much.
Right, right.
You know. And
how could you not like that movie?
Yeah, anything that stars a Grand National. I mean, I still got one in the CF, but
yeah.
I was having flashbacks from that night there.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, so I think we're going to be talking about it more, and I'm going to start communicating with this guy to see if we could get him on there. You know,
all good stuff. Yeah, that's something I look forward to, because movies like that, even if you didn't live in the area, you can relate to it because you did. We learned on Motormouth Radio many years ago that like I learned with Chris,
86th Street. Yeah.
What he was doing in Brooklyn, we were doing on Long Island. The streets were different, the people were different, the faces were all different, but we were all doing the same thing with cars. And, well, they maybe had a little more Kiana and Sergio Tacchini out that way, but we had some engineer boots and, you know,
type
denim.
Jeans,
so. Yeah, whatever. We were a little, yeah, we...
That's a Billy Joel thing, isn't it?
Yeah, right, it was. We might have dressed a little different, but we were kind of doing the same thing, so...
Seriously, yeah. But, yeah, I'm going to see if I can report on any updates on that, so, like, stay tuned for that. That looks like it could be, and that could be one of the, that could be on the list for the car movies.
Exactly.
A certain Camaro is going to be in there.
That's going to be mm-hmm. excellent. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and so what else we got coming up, Mr. Ray?
Well,
I didn't call you Ray.
That's okay. I don't have a sheet here. We're going to have, like I said, the guy from Auto Lift
ALI.
Institute. ALI, yeah. Now, I don't have a post-it note. I don't know if I actually scheduled...
Not the one from Love Story back in 73.
I don't remember if I scheduled a hard date with him or not. I know on the 9th, we're going to be at Malibu. We're doing a live remote. Kim here is going to be taking nicely.
She's going to be Overwatch for us.
Yeah, giving us an hour of her show, because we're going to do a two-hour remote from Malibu.
Right.
That's the 9th. And I don't...
We've got to bring back some cannolis and stuff. Yeah, for sure.
I don't remember if we had scheduled a date for the Auto Lift show. Maybe not, but I do have the information back at the Motormouth office. We'll figure it out and see. But
sure.
So we're gonna have fun with it, and you know.
I like it when we have like legit, like, you know, industry representatives of
like today.
Yeah,
yeah, Dave Barden. I mean, how do you not like that? That's fantastic.
And you just grab these guys out of the sky. It's fantastic.
You make
know?
The phone call. You ask the question. Sometimes they play. Sometimes they don't. Some people haven't come on, but you know, usually.
Oh, you guys, we heard it. You guys, no.
We have been very lucky. People seem to like what we do. Go figure.
Some
you know?
Of them are braver than others.
I know. So, yeah, with that, we're going to take another little cue here, another audio cue. We're going to
put it to bed.
Change our outro. So for Joe D., Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio, stay tuned, listen to Kim and Thunder Road. We'll be back next week.
Hasta la pasta.
See ya.